Monday is Memorial Day, and though there won't be any parades this year, hopefully it will be a time of reflection on why we honor our fallen heroes, including some from St. Clair County whose names will be added to the monument in Pine Grove Park. Dan Crocker, retired State Director of Veterans Services, Department of Michigan Veterans Foreign Wars, has worked for years on researching, finding names of the fallen from St. Clair County to add to that list. He's on the line with us right now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
Just fine.
Ed Weisler is
in Florida.
Wonderful. Ed Weisler is with us as well. He has spent the past couple of years working with Dan and tracking down images of fallen heroes to be included in the Blue Water Area Fallen Heroes Community Banner Project. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
We have several local fallen heroes from World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq that will be added to that list this weekend. Is that right, Dan?
That's correct.
This takes a lot of work. What motivates you to do this?
I guess it goes back to the beginning when I started doing some research. I wanted to do the history on the Allied Veterans Cemetery up on Gratiot there and Craft Road, and I went down some different rabbit trails, and I ended up back at Pine Grove Park and started looking at the names and just wondering, there's got to be a story behind each name, and as a result, I started doing some research to find out when these individuals were killed in action, where they were killed, basically how they were killed, where they're buried. And so as a result of that, it just became of a project that, you know, and I think Ed said it best, is that a project that we don't leave anybody behind.
Yeah, Ed, maybe you can echo that a little bit, because I know it's a very similar story for you. You start doing research, you go down the rabbit hole, and you find a lot of information.
It's GIs who go through basic training. If there's one thing that they literally drill into you, is that we leave no one behind. And regardless of whether your tenure is 2 years from the draft or 4 years plus from enlistments or you retire out of it, you never really forget that. And a lot of guys will sit back and say, I wonder whatever happened to so-and-so, and that's as far as it goes. And then there's that small cluster of GIs who... I haven't forgotten this. I hope no one else does. And rabbit hole is an understatement. Yeah. So
we live in this era where everything is chronicled digitally and meticulously, and we have records of everything, everybody's every movement, it seems. And so when we start thinking about, well, why weren't these names added? We're talking about as far back as World War One, and then through World War Two, and even up through the Vietnam era, there were not as many records kept, or certainly not as meticulously as they are now.
That's correct.
Go ahead, Dan.
And with the different, all the different research engines, and you know, like Ancestry and newspaper.com, which we you know, review religiously with the Times Herald editions dating back to, you know, all the way back to 1869. So we're able to use that information to bring it forward. And to answer the question, why weren't they found before, Ed and I can't figure it out. One of the things that we have found out is that the eligibility criteria for the Talbots has kind of morphed into different things over the years. And so I'll give you an example. We have a World War One veteran writing his name to it this year. His name is Captain Harold G. Ross. He was born in New York, but he spent all his summers as a kid in Port Huron. Mm. He was killed in action in France in 1918. And when they brought his remains back home in 1921, he was buried in Lakeside Cemetery. So that element, he was buried in Lakeside Cemetery, gives him his tie to St. Clair County. The upshot of that whole story is that in 1949, the tablet itself was a wooden structure, and the names were engraved on the wooden structure, the construction. Then, in 1949, they put the cement tablet up there, And lo and behold, his burial flag was used to drape that tablet for the unveiling of that tablet. So it was kind of like it's come out full circle for him, and now his name is on the tablet. So that's a real neat story.
I just got a chill thinking about that. That's amazing. Dan, when we talked about a year ago, I mean, we talked around Memorial Day of last year, you had come up with, I think, 21 additional names to add to the tablets in Pine Grove Park. What else have you found in the last year?
Well, we found 27 more. And if you recall, you asked me the question, do we think we will find more? And at that time,
that.
I emphatically says, yeah.
Yeah.
Because what happened was, I think it was a week after our interview, Ed Weiser was walking through the cemetery and he spotted a marker, and it looked like the dates and that fit into this, you know, period of time. And he just gave me a call. We did a little research, and lo and behold, World War II veteran, not on the tablet. Mm. And Ed can recall that. And I want to say his name was Carl Williams from Marysville.
Carl T. Williams from Marysville.
Oh,
right.
Darn.
And so, yeah, it's a never-ending project. We got 27 that we're adding or have added, and that's not to say that we might not find more in the future. Probably not in these numbers at all, but we will probably find some, I'm sure.
I'm sure you will. And I was going to ask you, well, how many more do you have to find? You really don't know until you find them, right?
That's right. We just come across them. Through Ed's project, he has been even so diligently talking with people. We ended up with three from his project, Vietnam, Iraq, and, well, of course, World War II, Mr. Williams. And so through his project, we were able to find three more, and I got a feeling we're going to find more through his endeavors.
Yeah. Ed, let's talk a little bit more about that project. I think folks are aware of it. We've talked about it before, but just kind of give us an update on the Blue Water Area Fallen Heroes Community Banner Project.
The last photograph that I scanned was the 9th of March on a Monday, and COVID-19 and some medical issues on my end have kind of taken us out of circulation. Right now, I have 12 photographs waiting to be scheduled for scanning that, you know, because of COVID-19, I can't get out there. So that would bring us up to 249. We're shooting for 300, which we may not get for 2021 because that's our kickoff date. But whatever we have printed, or I'm sorry, whatever we have scanned by then and whatever monies we can raise, that's what we're going to go for 2021. But the issue is, thanks to Dan, we know all the names thus far that we're looking for. Finding the families is the challenge. And the Internet is not going to solve that problem. It takes FaceTime, as you and I have talked before, so... the word is getting out. It's just getting people to communicate face to face with each other, and COVID-19 even prevents that. So
it does. But Ed, you and I talked a few weeks ago, I guess, about the fact that during this stay-at-home time, a lot of people have been going through those shoeboxes of photographs in the basement, attic, or garage, and maybe they've come up with something that you might be looking for.
Two phone numbers that they can contact the project through. The hotline is 810-985-2007 or 810-434-6407. And it's just a matter of allowing us to document a contact sheet, which Nancy has strategically designed for this project, so that if we can't get to them, at least we can document that conversation, reach out to them once the COVID, the stay-at-home edict is lifted, and take care of business and scan it. As we repeatedly say, there is no cost now or ever to the family who has a photograph for the scanning or the production of the banner, because that family already paid.
Yeah, the image that you scan, the image of that fallen hero will be made into a banner that will hang in presumably their hometown, all across the Blue Water area. Hopefully, starting next year, right?
That is correct. 1 week before Memorial Day, and they'll come down a week after Memorial Day. The banners will be used for nothing else at any other time, no promotions or what have you. So its intended purpose is to get people to pause and look into the eyes of those local sacrifices who went in the military as a kid, grew up immediately, but they never grew old.
Ed, this is a different kind of Memorial Day this year. I know we don't get to do the traditional activities that you, boy, your mom for so many years put those flags out at the cemetery, and we'll be missing that this year, won't we?
No.
No?
No.
Tell us what's
happening. It's nice to be able to have one up on you, Paul. We did Lakeside Cemetery this past weekend. We were masked. Volunteers had gloves. There were no more than two people, usually husband and wife together, who did a block or an island. And we would like to think that we're in compliance with the governor's edict that there's no mass assemblage and that the social distancing rule is honored. And we'll be doing Allied Veterans Cemetery with Sea Cadets, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Civil Air Patrol this Saturday. So there are some things that we just work within the limitations that are placed upon us. We adapt, and we get the job done, and then we go on about our ways.
I am so happy to hear that. Haven't been out of my house in a few days, so it's nice to know that's going on.
The public expects that, and
yeah.
As you know, volunteers, citizen, public servants. We don't like disappointing the public, so, and we have it's our job to honor those fallen GIs, so it'll be taken care of.
Dan, from your perspective, with the Memorial Day coming up, and we're not going to have the same kind of parades and other observances that we usually have, what is your hope for this Memorial Day weekend as we all kind of move through our three day weekend?
I think that we need to all set aside on the 25th at noon and take that moment of silence and remember those who. Didn't know what was going to happen to them. They were fearful of what was going to happen to them, and they laid it all on the line for freedom. That's the bottom line.
Well said. Absolutely. Gentlemen, thanks for all that you're doing. We appreciate it. And Ed, I'll ask you one more time for that phone number. If somebody's got a picture that'll need to be scanned, how do they get a hold of the banner project?
Hotline is 810 area code 985-2007 or 810-434-6407.
All right. Hey, thanks again to both of you. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Have a great day.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. 1380 WPHM in Port Huron, Dan Crocker and Ed Weichler joining us this morning on this Thursday before